You know, this sounds so dumb. I smelled my own fart for the first time in like, I don't know, like over a year.
Tell me how it was.
It was incredible. I teared up.
100%. Cheers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bert underwent a full body blood transfusion and word from the doctor is it's going well. Sitting in for him is the great Duncan Trussell. Thanks for coming, Duncan.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We're so excited to see you.
I'm excited to see you.
I thought you were going to stunt on me because last time I ran into you at the Beverly Hills Hotel,
yes,
you were in full, you were full Gucci'd out. So I went out and I was like, I'm going to get a Gucci shirt for Duncan Trussell's appearance.
Oh my God.
And then you said I was going to wear Gucci. You have Gucci shoes on. I want to let the audience know.
I do. Yeah.
I love seeing you in Gucci.
Okay, here's the thing. I didn't do it because I thought if I wore a Gucci shirt, you would make fun of me for it.
Look at us. Just a couple of rascals. But anyway, yeah, that's why I did this for you, buddy.
Looks good.
Thanks, man. Thank you. I wish you had worn yours.
Do you go to the store to pick them out?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't step foot in one of those stores.
Those are nightmares. Yeah. No, I just went online.
Okay.
Yeah, I had it sent to the house.
Too much pressure in the stores.
And here's the thing. It's a lot of pressure to get it too, because if it arrives and it's not what you like or fit, you're like, fuck, this was so much to fuck around with.
You got to send it back.
You can't
procrastinate sending it back. No.
You have to, man. You have to. So you are now an Austin resident.
Yes.
How are you liking it here?
I love it.
You love it?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's so much like, it's such a different feel, right? Than what you're used to.
Well, yeah, because I was up in North Carolina.
I know.
Up in this little town, so.
Asheville? Or near Asheville?
Asheville, yeah.
It's a cool town.
Yeah, a cool town. But, obviously people really love it, but I think living in LA too long, it's like once you're just used to that and then you go to a smaller place, you just, it's really difficult to transition, actually shift into that mode. Because, you know, everyone's got the fantasy, the move to the country fantasy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And then I realized that my only way I could live in the country is if I had access to the city not far. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
I can live, I think, 30 minutes, maybe max, I need to have a city center kind of to go to feel grounded in this world.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're fucked.
Yeah.
That's it. We're just locusts. Like, we have to be around things to
buy. I have to be. I realize I couldn't do that real, I live up in the mountains living.
But a lot of people think they can. It's just like
you romanticize it.
Yeah, you think you're going to go up there and just like relax by a stream, lay in your hammock.
Yeah, and then you go, That's fun for a week. That's real fun for a week.
Yeah, a week.
You know, like a vacation that's like totally removed from things.
Yeah.
That's really nice. Going to a beach we don't even get cell signals. You're like, I can do this for a week.
Yeah. And then there's also the other stuff out there. You know, it's like there's a lot going on out there in the country. Like a lot going on out there.
Scary stuff?
Well, you know, like in the city, you'll hear these stories of like there could be a civil war. And you're like, shut the fuck up. That couldn't ever happen.
Right.
And then you go out to the country and it's like this isn't a Hallmark Channel movie happening. There's no like urbanites falling in love with like the noble country folk. There's people out there like at firing ranges training every day, just getting ready.
Getting ready.
Yeah, they know it's coming.
I saw this video about, hey, you know it's coming, boys. Just letting everybody out there know that they're coming for our guns. And it's going to be the IRS who comes and takes them from us. And then the guy like looked at the camera. He goes, you know what to do. And you're like, what the fuck? What? And then he goes, don't pay your taxes. And he goes, if enough of us Do not pay our taxes.
Yeah, that'll work.
That's what's going to work. And so, then you realize that there are people watching that, though. Like, we watch that and we're like, good luck, fuckface.
Yeah.
But then how there's people out there who are like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They just got convinced.
Well, there's people who think you don't have to. Like, there's people who think that you can write a special thing.
I have a friend that was like, no, but here's the thing, man. It depends on whether you, what type of citizen you claim to be.
And sovereign
I was like,
citizen.
What? Yeah, are you, you're sovereign? Like, have you been sovereign for long? And do you think this is going to work in court? And then they'll pull up like a website and be like, see?
Yeah.
It says it here.
That's
like,
it.
Yeah.
They think there's code words you could say to police. Like when you get pulled over.
Oh, there are.
Yeah. And you see, there's whole videos of cops and the exasperated look they get when they've got a sovereign citizen. It's like, oh, fuck, man.
I want to say that Mos Def pulled that when South Africa tried to kick him out a few years ago. They were like, you don't have a visa. You have like, and he was like, first of all, I think he had changed. It was like right when he changed to being like Yasin Bey. And I want to say he goes in his statement or something that he's a sovereign citizen. That's why he doesn't need to update his pass. Mos Def had been allowed out of South Africa 11 months after being arrested for using the wrong passport. The rapper, also known as has been living in the country since 2013, but was stopped from leaving in January. But I think if you go into that story, you find that he claimed to be a sovereign citizen.
Yeah.
I think that if you put Mos Def sovereign citizen, you'd probably find that.
I mean, I get it. I kind of get what they're talking about, which is, I think, like, look, we didn't choose to be born in any given place. You're just born in some place. And just because you're born in some place, suddenly you have to follow all the rules of this weird game that
it's so crazy the benefits or disadvantages you have just from being born.
Yeah.
But you never think about if you're in a place full of advantages, right? Like when you don't realize how lucky you are to live in the like developed world.
Right.
And then you travel and you realize, like this whole country of people just was born here. They were just born here.
That's it.
That's the only thing that set them up for this life.
Yeah.
And we're like, fucking get in line, asshole.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. It's so weird. It's like, then you're born, whatever place you're born into, like automatically they like start conditioning you.
Yes.
Like wherever you're at from the, you know, right away, you got to, I don't know if they still do it anymore, like the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
All these like things that would seem insane a few thousand years ago. But
that seems also, you know, if you live in the South, it's very, still kind of pretty patriotic. Like, I'm sure if you go to a sporting event anywhere in the Southeast and the national anthem plays, pretty much everybody, I think, is respecting that.
Yeah.
But L.A. was one of those places where I realized that I saw the opposite. I was like, oh, that's really interesting. Meaning, like, I was at a Laker game and I saw people who deliberately wouldn't stand for the national
anthem. Right.
But it was like, well, they were making a big deal, but it was kind of like they're like, I don't do that.
Right.
You know? Like, I don't stand for the national anthem. I think you do that at like an Alabama football game. You fucking murdered in the stands.
Yeah.
Like,
they'll fucking eat. They'll just beat you to death.
Yeah, I was
spread
like,
your meat chunks through the bleachers.
I was like, you just sit during this? All right. Yeah. It's kind of weird. It stands out, you know?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I don't know. I'm sentimental, so I like it. You know, like,
I enjoy it. The national anthem before a game. Same way. It's like, it can even make me emotional. Not every time.
Same.
But I mean, we also grew up in a generation where that was, you know, kind of normalized.
Right.
So like the whole, you know, shit's fucked up with our country. Like, I get that, but you know, we still have it burned into us.
It's like enjoying Star Wars. You know, like you don't go in there to watch Star Wars and the whole time you're like, this isn't real. There's no, you know, like if you're going to enjoy the national anthem, you got to do a little suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
Like, let the propaganda.
The national
work.
Anthem isn't, and everything is perfect. That's not, those aren't the lyrics.
Someone should add that. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Oh, say, can you see? Yeah. Everything is perfect.
Perfect. Everything's perfect.
Yeah. We have no flaws.
Man, I was just talking to my wife about it, like how you and me, especially, we hit this time in American history compared to all the other times that was this strange calm, like peaceful, the shit we had Clinton.
Yeah.
You know, we had like this, like there was nothing like what's happening right now.
No.
Nothing. And so we started thinking, this is how it is. Like, we, no one in the 80s was thinking like, this isn't going to work. Like, it's going to start falling apart pretty soon.
Yeah.
There's going to be insurrections. There's going to be riots. There's going to be confusion and pandemics. Even though that's the story of the country, is just like World War II, Spanish flu, Vietnam, all this crazy shit. But we landed in this perfect spot to turn into complete assholes.
Yeah, we did. Because
we're just like our grandparents, you know, they're like, you don't understand how bad it gets.
And we were just like what? You mean like when there's supposed to be a video game released and it comes out 2 weeks later?
Oh, the worst. I hate that. The worst. Or it comes out and it's not finished.
Dude, that new Madden sucks.
Oh, God. What the fuck? How did they fuck that up?
And he's like, I stormed the beach at Normandy, your grandfather. And you're like,
yeah.
Whatever, bro.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've played GTA. Yeah, it is what we were built. We had that decade of like, and it's the formative years too, right? Like the 90s for us were really, that's why your brain is really developing what normalcy. I mean, in a way it's very healthy that you're not built with resilience in that decade.
Right.
But you are built to kind of feel like you live in a safe world, but it creates apathy when you have lack of chaos.
That's it.
Now, imagine if you're a teen for this decade. You're a teen in this decade, these past.
Yeah.
You growing up in madness. Madness.
Oh my God. You got September 11th.
Oh my fucking God, dude. If that was the beginning, if you were like 11 or 10 when that happens, and then you grow up for the whole next decade, but then you go through these Trump years and just see how a country splits apart and break, and everybody hates each other.
Because
we were just talking about on my tour, I have two people on my tour who have really opposing political views, but when they talk, it ends up kind of in laughter and like high fives and whatever.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, that reminds me of when I was a kid, that adults would disagree, but you would never think they were like, and I hope you die.
No.
Like, right. Like, because that's what people say now. They're like, I hope all those people fucking die.
You know about accelerationism? You ever heard of that?
No.
It's creepy. It's the idea is like, look, everything's falling apart in slow motion right now. Mm-hmm. And because it's falling apart, it would be better for it to just go ahead. It's like when you have to throw up. And it's just better to throw up. Don't hold it in. Don't do like.
Just let it out.
Let it all out. So accelerationists, they want to speed shit up to whatever the particular event is that like causes the collapse of civilization to start over again. That's the idea, is like speed this shit up. So fuck centrism. Fuck the cute story of the right and the left having these barbecues
together. Let's get there.
Let's just start killing each other. Whoever is left standing will reproduce and that will be the next civilization.
I mean, there's books out now. I think like definitely some bestsellers about how everything, and this is from like, you know, Harvard or Yale researcher, professor, everything now lines up with exactly the years prior to other dynasties ending.
Oh my God.
You know, like Chinese, Roman, and like all these dynasties have certain similarities in the years leading up to the collapse.
Right.
And it says, and I'm doing a poor job of describing it, but that we are showing all the same symptoms of the lead up to the collapse of a civilization.
Yeah, man, I heard that shit. Like, to me, the creepiest part of that, because I had no idea, is like every one of these civilizations had a Game of Thrones or like a version of it, like that was different according to their culture. And then they do the spinoff. And like right after the spinoff, that's when the dynasty collapses.
So the spinoff that is on right now on HBO Max.
I'm not Nostradamus or anything, but if we're looking at patterns,
did you see the spinoff?
It's amazing.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's amazing. The spinoff is really good.
What is it called?
House of Dragons.
House of Dragons. Yeah. And it's really good.
Oh, it's so good.
Guess what?
What?
A couple episodes ago, I was talking to Bertrand. He's my friend that usually sits here. He's had his both kidneys replaced last week. He and I were talking about the Armie Hammer story.
Oh, yeah.
And I was saying how I wasn't so sure, because when the story first came out, you would just see, I thought it was very, it's very journal, like indicative of today's journalism. They would just show like one, like his messages.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, but you got to, like, what's the back and forth look like?
Right.
You know, like they go, this guy's accused of all these things. And then they're like, here's messages he sent. He's a monster. I'm like, yeah, but to get to, in order to feel like to fairly call somebody a monster, I'd like to see what the responses to these messages were.
Yeah.
So I watched the series called House of Hammer about him and his family. I think he's a pretty bad guy.
Is he really?
Well, I think he is. It's interesting because it really explores kink, you know, like the world. You have experience with BDSM?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, you know, like some of the tenets, it's like constant consent, constant communication, constant, you know, reinforcing, restating what boundaries are.
Right.
And
do you want me to stop pegging you now, bitch? Yeah,
yes. And safe words and like great communication. This is what we're, you know what I mean? So that everybody is enjoying whatever kink. What the series does is really, it goes into his story. Well, what's fascinating, more fascinating than actually what he's accused of and all, is his family legacy, the story of his whole family.
What is that?
His great grandfather founded Occidental Petroleum and was a big time influencer, and turns out had a real cushy relationship with the KGB and also super tight with Prince Charles and Princess Di. Friends with all the US presidents. I mean, like a major, major mover shaker who also had some dark, like when you run one of the biggest oil companies in the world, like it's not because everything is. Like, you're the coolest, nicest guy, usually.
You know, yeah, I've heard that some of the oil executives aren't just as nice as people think.
So some real dark shit, real dark shit. And that's what I'm saying. And they lay out the how every generation, like his father, his uncle, his grandfather, just a lot of dark shit.
Yeah.
And a lot, it seemed like a lot had real issues with women. And with him, it seemed like he, I mean, again, I'm, you know, citing from watching this, he really liked dominance. He really liked the
he
rope.
He was a top.
Yeah. The rope practice of, it's Japanese, we're called, I think, shibori.
Oh my God, it's so cool. Yeah.
It looks like- cool. It looks cool as fuck. But like, then you see the responses from a lot of women. Now, this is the point I was trying to make on that podcast, is that if you're in that type of relationship where you go, I'm going to dominate you, and you're sending messages, and the reply from someone is, I was so scared. That can be part of of the kink. Like, in other words, that can be part of the game.
Sure.
Right. So there's a lot of nuance to like breaking down written text. But then you got on top of the responses were a lot of times, you know, like, actually, I was really scared and I was crying. And he was like, that was so hot.
Right.
But then they, you know what I mean? Where you go like, wait, are you playing? Or
yeah.
But then they also interviewed these women. And it's there where it's very clear that they were all like, this was not fun.
You've been to a dominatrix.
For the Wyatt, or Two Bears. Yeah. We did that. Yeah.
And so you experienced like the, what did she do to you?
She like spanked us, put on nipple clamps, put this electric shocker on our dicks that were tied together. And
I guess a better way to put it is like, okay, you know, like,
dude, I came so hard.
Did you really come?
All over Bert, all over him.
You're not supposed to go.
I didn't mean to.
You shouldn't. No, you can't do that.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, is that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. Just ask our very own Josh Zola, whose entire wireless production facility plan lifestyle has been completely revamped and overwhelmed by Mint Mobile savings. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and bar mates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Okay, so you know like when you're friends with a comic and they start roasting you. And they're saying, anyone that wasn't a comic, if they were saying those things to you.
Yeah.
It would be awful. Like you would yes. get mad. You're like, fuck you. Well, yeah. fuck you. But if a comic is doing it, who loves you.
Yeah.
You
There's got to be love there. It's very different.
That's it. You There's feel be honored. You yes. kind of like, you can't, you're like admiring how like insightful they are yes. into your like deepest yes. secrets. So I think that's what BDSM is like. It's like on the surface, if you saw it,
yes.
you would be like, God, it's brutal and violent. But like what's really happening there is like this very strange expression of love.
Yes.
And
incredible trust.
Yes.
Trust like almost above all else.
That's
when you
it.
See great, like, you know, and you can have a non-BDSM relationship and the thrill of the relationship is your level of trust, right? In
yeah.
being vulnerable and sharing things. And they're just taking it to this sexually adventurous, kinky place.
That's it.
When you watch this stock series,
he's not doing that.
It doesn't feel like that.
Right. He's not.
It feels like people are scared.
Yeah.
And that he is, this is a guy who's like, I think he's like 36, 37 now. And, you know, he was going after girls that were like 21, 22, 23. And you realize too, as you're a guy, because that's an older one, but yeah, when you're a guy, when you're whatever, guy or woman, people in their early 20s, if you're trying to manipulate, are obviously easier to target, right? As a guy like him, like if you're going after a 21-year-old girl.
If Armie Hammer asked me to suck his dick, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes and then
yeah, I know.
Would. He's such a beautiful man.
He's so good looking.
It's like, I mean, just the magnetism, the power.
So he's a good looking guy. He's a talented actor. He is a talented actor. And he's, you're seeing him in movies.
Yeah.
It's like that draw is probably very hard to resist.
And you want to, you know, and initially you're like, fuck, I'm talking to Armie Hammer.
Yeah.
And then he's like, hey, are you into, you yeah. want to like get into something kind of weird? And you're like, yeah. I guess so, sure.
Yeah.
And then you don't know anything about BDSM.
You
so
don't.
So you're learning it from him.
Right.
And then theoretically down that path, you end up getting sucked into some toxic, and then, awful.
A few hours later, you got cracked ribs and you're in a pool of tears. And he's like, isn't BDSM
isn't
fun?
Wonderful.
And you're like, yeah.
I feel so free. Do you feel as free yeah. as I do right now?
You know what's fascinating about the funny thing about the good looking thing is how much, you ever think about how much you are influenced for little things by attractive people?
It's incredible.
I remember this is a very routine practice that's done in Psych 101 all over the country, probably all over the world, but definitely in the US. We did it. It's a regular practice. You've probably seen it or there's videos of it where it's an experiment where they take a student who is objectively like attractive, like a cute girl.
Yeah.
Ponytail, carrying a stack of books. And what they do is you have her go through like the student union or like a high traffic area. And at a certain mark, drop her books, appear to accidentally drop them.
Right.
And watch how men, women, gay, straight, all walks of life.
They want to help.
Want to help and pick up the books. And then they run the experiment with a less, like if somebody's overweight, sloppy, disheveled, drop the books. People step over the books. People step over them. You know, and then when you get to like things like this, like crimes, you realize it's rare that we see, or at least accused crimes, I should say, like somebody who's good look and the power that probably has in committing them, because people are just, we're naturally like seduced.
Yeah.
Sexuality out of it by you want to be around good looking people.
That's it.
Yeah.
You have no idea what's driving the wheel of that bus.
No.
Like if you could peer inside, it could be like a desiccated wraith-like skeletal fucking thing just like chewing on baby hearts behind those eyes. You don't,
but it's a nice shell.
Oh my god,
it's a nice shell.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
It's Bundy.
Yeah,
that was the whole, that was
he was so hot.
That was the Bundy story, is that everybody was like, this is a good look. He was educated. He had actually dropped out of law school, but you know, people go like, this is a, what do you mean? This is a good looking man.
You think
man.
There were people when he was killing them that for a second were just, they couldn't help themselves. Like, God, he's beautiful.
Yeah. For a second. Yeah. Just for a moment. I mean, how about how it affects politics? Most of our politicians are fucking disgusting, right? They're just ugly. There's just so many.
Right.
But like somebody goes, I want to get into politics and they're, have some symmetry.
Right.
Are somewhat good looking.
Yeah.
And people go, I want to vote for that guy. And you go, why? And they're like, I just like him.
Amazing.
I like him.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's a good person.
And they're like, why do you think he's good? And they're like, well, look at him. He's handsome.
Yeah. Nobody wants to talk about, like, you know, everyone, like people will talk about classism.
Yeah.
No one wants to talk about symmetrism. This like just built in, baked in thing where we favor people who are beautiful.
And they break down in psychology that like the basis for why we say that man or that woman is very good looking. Like one of the biggest factors is symmetry.
Yeah.
Like a face that's symmetrical makes you go like,
it's math.
That's really good looking.
It's weird that we have something built into us
yeah.
that can like detect mathematical patterns in a person's
sure.
face. And then from that ascertain some sense of like, okay, they're better. They're, yeah, they're safe.
And they're attractive.
Yeah.
And if that's the craziest thing. Attractive equals I'm safe.
Yeah.
Only right. an attractive person won't hurt me.
No.
Only an unattractive person.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's so fucked up, man. It's really...
That's a really interesting connection. The fact that we go, that person is not... That's an ugly person. I'm scared.
Everyone wants to tax billionaires more.
Yeah.
Let's start taxing symmetrical people.
That's...
A symmetry tax.
You always have ideas that no one else does.
See, this is why I'm getting into politics. As an asymmetrical person, I think I have a shot, number one. Two, we got to start taxing them.
Yeah.
They've got it easier.
So much
easier.
They
need to pay their fair share.
Movie stars. We'll start with movie stars.
And you know what? Don't want to pay the tax? No problem. We'll have face scarring clinics. You come in.
Yeah.
We'll like...
Slice you up.
Give you something that makes you just... Not like completely fucked up, but just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Send you back out. You don't have to pay the tax.
Go live life with this face. Yeah.
Yeah.
With your new fucking face.
So see what it's like now.
Yeah.
Now tell somebody you want to fucking eat their face off and see how they react to you.
He Army was like, I know it. He told one of the girls, I know a surgeon that'll cut two of your ribs out because I want to eat your ribs. He wanted to grill her ribs and eat them. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What surgeon is that?
I don't know.
How do you explain that? Like, look what's coming to dinner.
I don't think he's at Cedars.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Jesus Christ. How do you do the? I want to know his first conversation with the surgeon.
He went quick with these girls, I'm saying. Or he went from like, you're so cool and I love you and you're so hot or whatever. Or not I love you, but like, I'm just so attracted to you. And then he went to like,
cannibalism.
You like ropes?
Yeah.
They're like, I don't know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he goes, I'm 100% a cannibal. I want to eat you. Scary to admit.
I'd love to be able to do those ropes, man, but I can't. I could barely tie my shoes like that.
And then there's a great appearance of him on, this is before everything went down, obviously, on Colbert, where they pull out ropes. And he's like, you want to see me tie a rope?
Oh, my God.
He does that with Colbert.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Did Colbert know
that? This is way before any of that stuff. He was promoting a movie and yeah, he's just like,
what a weird fetish, man. Cannibalism. Like of all the fetishes, that's one I can wrap my head around almost all fetishes, but
yeah,
cannibalism, it's not sexy. Like what's hot about that?
I know. Fecal matter too. It's really hard to,
that's really brutal.
That's brutal, man. Like also it's like, how are you not? Here we go. I bet I can tie a bow faster than you.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
This is like John Wayne Gacy. Like, you want to see who can put on clown makeup faster? Here we go.
It's crazy to think probably right now someone he was dating is tied up.
Yeah.
And he's got Colbert on. And they're like watching Colbert trapped in.
Look at that.
That looks easy.
And then he goes, that was your neck right after that, but it's on mute.
How many ribs do you have? You still have all your ribs?
It's fucking crazy. Yeah.
Wow. What a fun life, though, man. It must be so fun to be that beautiful.
It's got to be. It's got to be.
So fun.
It's got to be. I think about, you ever be like with somebody like that and you see the way people look at them and you're like, wow.
Just a magnet for eyeballs. Everyone's just turning and looking.
And everyone's basically pleased. Everyone's like, for they don't know anything about you. They don't know. They're just looking at you and they're like, this is a nice experience. It's like you're a view. It's like you're a view of the beach.
You're like air freshener. You're like visual air freshener. You come into a room and it's like, okay, things are better now.
Yeah.
There's a symmetrical person here.
Yes.
I don't have to feel quite so scared
of
these hideous motherfuckers.
Yeah, look at that. Your eyes, your nose, everything's like so perfectly aligned.
Maybe there was a war we don't know about. Maybe like thousands and thousands of years ago, before recorded history, like hideous people went to war with beautiful people. And all we have is like some epigenetic memory of that war.
Jesus. You're the fucking only guy in podcasting that said that sentence.
I'm sorry I said it.
I love it. What are you talking about?
I immediately regretted it. I went for my coffee. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You're the greatest.
What war is that?
You know what I wonder every time I see you? What? How many books a week do you read?
Oh, I don't read a lot of books a week. No, I read parts of books.
Oh, okay, that's
good. So I have like stacks of books that I'm always like just kind of picking up. And I listen to Audibles a lot.
You do listen to Audibles a lot?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I just listened to this great one, dude, about Ernest Shackleton. You know about that guy?
Mm-mm.
Holy shit, man. This guy, he wanted to do an expedition, ends up like the boat. They don't know anything back then. That was so cool about it. They have no idea what they're doing. They have like a vague idea. He ends up in this fucking boat and it gets stuck in the ice, as you could see there, in this Arctic expedition. The ice, you know.
Oh my, this story is now familiar. They ended up, keep going.
The boat gets stuck in the ice because they don't understand how it even works out there. So the boat is now stuck in ice.
He's the captain, right?
He's the captain. The ice is crushing the boat. They're finally like, look, the boat's done. They get everyone off the boat. They say the boat sounded like it was screaming as it's like being crushed by ice. They got all these fucking dogs. They end up eating the dogs. They end up just like taking the dogs behind like hills and just killing the dogs, eating them. And they were just fucked as you can be. Just, you're going to die level fucked. And somehow he survived and everyone survived because of him.
Amazing.
It's the coolest story. Yeah.
I remember hearing this story. His name started to sound familiar. Yes, the fact that everybody survived is incredible.
Incredible.
How long were they stranded for? Do you remember?
Like 2 days.
Was it 2 days in like Arctic?
I'm just kidding. No. That'd be weird if like 2 days. No. What the fuck? Like two. That's how I would die in 2 days. Probably.
How long was it?
Could you Google? I mean, I didn't pay attention to the exact amount of time. It's insane.
One of the biggest fucking details. How could you miss it over?
I think a year.
More than 2 years.
2 years.
Jesus Christ. You said 2 days and I was like, wow. Fuck, I'm a fucking idiot. Two days is a long time.
2 days. No, me too. No, for us, it would be.
It would be.
Yeah, for us. People like that, I don't even know if they're around anymore. Like,
no.
People like that might look at what has happened.
In
people.
Antarctica, too.
Yeah, in fucking Antarctica.
Do you know how many of those guys went back and they were like, hey, did you miss me? And they're like, I have a new life.
2 years.
Honey, I'm home.
Yeah, because you're not, that is.
You're dead. You're just assuming they're dead. Everyone thought he was dead. No. Nope.
Do you know, dude, this is not the same thing, but one of my Uber drivers here picked me up one time and he was like, we're just having a casual conversation. He's Mexican. And I go, how long you lived here? And it was like 10 years. And I go, why'd you pick here? And he tells me this story that he was living in Mexico.
Yeah.
And one of his friends had a horse trailer, a horse and the trailer, I think, stolen from his property. Right.
Okay.
Well, he had that trailer equipped with a GPS device. So a few weeks later, he went and took his trailer and his horse back.
Right.
Thinking like, somebody stole my shit.
I'm
taking it back. And then he said, I was at that friend's house and these three guys just came in, killed my friend, killed the other dude, and then took two of us and kept us hostage. And then killed the friend that they had kidnapped with me. And it's like a month later, he goes, at this point, I'm talking to these guys every day, the hitmen and the kid. And he goes, I asked the guy, I'm like, at one point I go, why haven't you killed me? He goes, we like you. That's what he's like, cool. And he starts asking the guy about being a hitman and like, you know, sharing those stories. And then he goes, one day they just put me in a car and I didn't know what was happening. I had like a hood on. And they just were driving. We stopped the car. I got out of the car. And then the car took off. And when I took the hood off, they left me on the highway just between two towns. So then I walked to the next town, picked up a payphone. It had been like, I forget if it was 30 or 50 days. And he just called his wife. And she was like, you know, thought he was dead because their friends were dead. And she's like, I started a new life. You're gone a month, you know?
It's
No, but she, he's like, she dropped the phone. Like she couldn't believe that I was alive. And then he's like, and that's why I moved to Austin. And here we are. You're at Three Forks. Enjoy your dinner.
Wow.
I was like, what the fuck, man?
Fuck. Did you give him a big tip?
I gave him $10. No, I forgot what I gave him. I was so blown away by it's the only Uber ride where I was like, can you do another lap? You know?
That is.
And here's the great thing about Mexican Uber drivers. They're not big on cologne. I don't know what it is about fucking Eastern Europeans and that fucking culture, but the Mexicans do it right. They know that you don't want to smell like a fucking brothel just because you took an Uber.
Yeah.
So shout out to all the Mexican Uber drivers.
Okay. I've thought about the cologne problem with Ubers.
Okay.
And I don't know for sure that it's always the drivers. I think they pick people up covered in cologne and it's them.
Yeah. I mean, Armenian drivers, come on, dude.
Man, this is one of the side benefits of my smell getting fucked up from COVID. Is like,
you still haven't gotten it back?
It's coming back a little at a time.
Yeah, mine came back a little at a time.
A little. You know, this sounds so dumb. I smelled my own fart for the first time in like, I don't know, like over a year.
Tell me how it was.
It was incredible. I teared up. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's like you don't even realize how much your farts tell you about where you're at in
life. That's true.
Like,
that is true.
There's a lot of data
and
in
a fart. And I do remember that period of post-COVID, like immediate post-COVID, where you're like, nothing registers.
Nothing.
I know.
Gone.
You go take a dump and you're like,
nothing.
By the way, how crazy will it be? We're talking about a kid growing up in this generation who's 15, let's say now.
Yeah.
When he's 50, talking to his kid about, you know, there was then there was that time when everybody lost their smell and they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, everybody lost their smell.
Whatever.
Sense of taste and smell. And that'll sound like a fairy tale.
Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah.
Polio. I remember, like, you know, old people yapping about polio. Yeah. You're like, here we go, another fucking polio story. Everybody's getting paralyzed and all that. Just come on.
Fucking stand up. Your legs work, asshole.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know. I've thought about it. I've thought about the parties. There's going to be, you know, like 80s parties.
That's right.
There's going to be mask parties.
Oh, yeah.
Where people are like, wear a mask, pretend there's COVID.
Yep.
We'll distance and everything. It'll be like, that's going to happen.
And then you're
going to
have that one fucking bitch that shows up crying. She's like, you know, my aunt actually, my great aunt died.
Yep.
Yeah. And ruin the party for everybody. Everyone would be like, that's no one knows that person.
Yep.
I thought we were having fun.
I never stopped wearing the mask. Yeah. There's going to be that too. Yeah. I still wear it.
Yeah. How do you feel about Nazi parties? Like, will you get in like an SS uniform for Halloween?
Fuck no. I'm not getting in a fucking SS uniform for Halloween. No, I'm too fat. You got to be thin to wear those things, man. You have to get it tailor made.
That's the hold up. Yeah. I gotta get sized. Taylor,
can you like make? Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that, man. I mean, like,
no, it's fucking insane.
Who invited you to a Nazi party? I've never even heard of those. Okay.
No, but there's always like every few years, almost maybe every year, there's always some story about somebody thought it was funny to go as Hitler. You know, like,
oh yeah,
that's like a yearly thing where it's usually somebody in, I don't know, high school or college or a dentist, you know, somebody's got a real fucking, not their good head on their shoulders. They'll do that. And
right.
And then they're like, everybody got upset. You're like, right.
Yeah,
they did.
Yeah. That's what happens. Yeah. Edge. That's the worst.
Or
kind
there's
of
the white woman who will, paint her face brown and put like a feather in her head. And she was like, what?
What's the big deal?
I'm Pocahontas.
It's just a feather. I did see a good one once, which was someone went as the Twin Towers. And they had a string you could pull and a plane would fly
Stop.
Into it. Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. And people were laughing.
Really?
It was actually, it worked. Like somehow it worked. It was like a funny.
Do you think it's that there's just a certain time removed from a tragedy? Like it's got to be right long enough time, but that's still it's too devastating, right? I mean, is that it?
What's this?
These are Twin Tower.
Oh, there you go. I guess they're up. I guess they're everywhere now. Wow, that's great. It wasn't that they didn't pull. I don't know how the guy pulled it off. To me, it seemed like a reasonable costume.
Really?
But
North
those,
Tower, South Tower. Wow. Those seem like they're awful. Those two seem like they're awful people just from that photo.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, like looking at these now, you know, it wasn't like that. I guess it was because it seemed kind of like an Etsy project.
Yeah.
I just don't think they put enough thought into those costumes.
Yeah. This is like a couple. That's kind of nice. Well, there's a guy going as a terrorist, but he's doing the upright. Yeah.
Yeah,
see, that guy's probably running for like senator somewhere,
right?
And he's like, "What?
Yeah, what's the big deal?" It was Halloween.
It's costumes.
It's costumes. Oh, so you can go as Dracula.
I respect our Muslim community. All right,
Dracula's killed more people than terrorists. But oh, you can go as Dracula,
Ivan the Terrible,
Vlad the Impaler.
Vlad the Impaler.
Oh, it's okay to go as Vlad, but not a
Dracula.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vlad, that's who I was thinking of.
Vlad the Impaler.
Vlad was rad. He had...
That's the worst. Vlad was rad, man.
Dude,
he wasn't so bad.
Here's the thing about Vlad is that I think first of all, it's so extreme what he did, but so long ago.
Yeah.
That's the thing is that time allows you to laugh about it because nobody even... 50 times removed from your generation knows about
that's
that,
right. You know? And it lets you have the fantasy that you're far away from that ever happening again.
And that if you would have been there, it wouldn't happen. Like you go like, I could have talked to the guy.
Oh yeah. Dinner parties where if you complained, like apparently, so I read someone was at one of his dinner parties.
Yes.
Complained about the smell.
This is true.
And he's like, let me get you to let me take you to a place where it won't bother you.
Yeah.
I don't, and like put him on one of his fucking spikes.
Yeah. Impaled him.
Impaled him.
And he would impale you through your anus and out of your mouth. Right. So like that's a real impalement, and then you bleed out that way, and it's obviously a slow, horrible death. And then
horrible death.
He had heads, you know, just on spikes on the Like
he looks like an impaler.
Sure. But you can but it's okay to wear that costume.
Okay, yeah, you can do that. Okay, fine.
Guy was a big time fucking rascal, big knucklehead, and now it's okay to wear his outfit.
Yeah. Fuck that.
You know, if you wear that, everyone would be like, who the fuck are you?
Right. Just going to think you're some kind of king.
And they'll just be like, what are you? You read tarot cards?
Yeah.
You look like a fucking...
Yeah.
You going to tell me my future?
Fortune teller?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, you ever get into like Charles Manson YouTube videos?
Great guy. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Misunderstood.
Totally. Guy could jam.
He was symmetrical.
Symmetrical.
Charismatic.
Played a little, was it guitar?
Guitar. Yeah. He was definitely like somebody who I would have gotten sucked into that, I think.
You know what? I could see that.
Yeah, it would have happened.
And you specifically.
Yep. And yeah. I would be the asshole who's like, Tom, I want to introduce you to somebody. He's so cool. He plays music.
Yeah.
We got hot girls around all the time.
We got a ranch.
Yeah, come out to the ranch. Come out to the ranch. It'll be fun. Also, you know, he's really wise.
Yeah.
But people like him, like in another time, I think they would, that's what kings were like. Like, I think that kings were just as crazy as Charles Manson. They were just as insane, but they had charisma. And they, all you got to do is get enough people around you who will kill for you. And you can convince people of anything.
Of anything.
That's how you become a king.
If you can convince people to do that, it's anything.
Right. Yeah. That's it. You just need the right amount of people with guns around you.
Yeah.
And now, like, anyone who says, you know, I don't think that God is wanting you to be a king, like you're telling everybody. I don't think you have divine blood. I think you have blood like anybody else. You end up on the spike. And then the people who see that, they're like, you know what? You have the most divine blood. Yeah. And then the army grows. You've got kids. Now you're a fucking king.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Dude, this also reminds me of the Kims, you know, in North Korea. Because there are countless tales. I mean, they interviewed his, he loves sushi. Kim Jong-il loves sushi. So he had a sushi chef from Japan, right, that lived at one of the palaces or whatever. And that guy was like, he goes, he would come home some days. You're like, this is the greatest guy. He would just.
Right.
He would just like be, he'd be laughing, smiling. And then he goes, he would get home some days, like the car would pull up. And he was just like, kill that guy. And it was that kind of a switch. But there is no, you know, complaining about the smell.
No.
Right, it's total delusional belief. That's the chef. Right,
that's
there.
A sushi chef
in the head wrap on the right, on the top.
How
right.
do you? Yeah. You're living in Japan. You're a sushi chef. You're probably a good one.
Probably.
How do you take that job?
That's a fantastic question.
Who would go? Who goes?
You're out of your mind.
You're out of your mind.
He's an adventurer. How did he get out?
It
wasn't a, I don't think it was, you know, like an escape. It was like, oh, you know, agreed upon and probably wanted to switch it up. I mean, you remember when how he killed his uncle?
No.
Kim Jong-il wanted his uncle killed, who was a high ranking person in his party.
Yeah.
And so he, whenever there was like any sense that there was going to be any type of pushback, criticism, questioning. And he also suspected rightfully that all of them have suspected rightfully that they might be overthrown. Kim Il-sung,
sure,
Kim Jong-il, because people
hate him.
Reasonable people would see what's happening. But so he took one of his uncles, because he's killed multiple uncles. But he took one of them and had him put in a field and had an aircraft missile fired. Because he goes, I don't want one of his hairs to still be here. So that dude just had to like stand bound up and see a missile come and blow him to pieces. Yeah.
How close to being like that do you think you are? Like
much power would you have to achieve?
I'm just saying you personally, like, you know, like it's fun to think about, like, okay, to me that sounds insane.
It's insane.
But if this or that happened, it would kind of start making sense.
Oh, right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Like, I do think, though, in order to be that vicious, there's got to be something in you or you have to be groomed in it. And these guys were all groomed in it. Like Kim Il Sung had Kim Jong Il, who had Kim. Oh my God, what's the current guy? I just fucked up on his name.
I can't believe you can remember all those names. But, of the North Korean.
But
leaders.
The current Kim Jong Un. So he was raised by Kim Jong Il, and Kim Jong Il was raised by Kim Il Sung. So they're. But I mean, imagine growing up in the world. That world is. Everybody is out to get us. America is full of evil. Like, they're evil overlord. They're like in the story, if you're in Star Wars, and the story in North Korea is we are Luke Skywalker and they are Darth Vader, right? That's what America
standing
is there.
Against
and it's 24/7 and you never get outside information. And so if you're groomed in that, I think it might be easier to do something like that. I don't think Duncan or Tom of today who have lived thus far could be turned into that level of a person. I think it would have to start when you're young, and you have to be in this environment where you're also raised to think like that's what being a leader is, and that's what being a real man is like. Right. Don't forget, they have multi-generational killing.
Yeah.
When you turn against the state, like if you criticize Kim Jong-un, they do the three generation thing, which is like if it's you, they kill your parents and your kids so that there is no lineage passed on of you anymore.
Holy.
But it's for your fuck up.
Shit.
So they die and they die because of you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I think
he's a pretty cool guy. I heard that he loves basketball.
He loves basketball.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever seen his trampoline tricks. He does they're hilarious.
That's
they're
funny.
They're like really cool. Kind of inspirational too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you read his self-help book? Are you joking?
Yeah, he looked it up.
Wait, no. I just made that up.
I know. It's a t-shirt. It's a t-shirt, though.
Can you open the shirt, please? What?
It's no shoes on the trampoline.
What the fuck?
It's a him and Trump.
That's a meme or something? Like him on a trampoline?
I guess.
Whoa.
Have you seen like what they teach in like North Korean schools?
Yeah.
They'll be like, he was born on a mountaintop and like the sky opened. I think they said that Kim Jong-il played golf nine times and he had 18 holes in ones. And then he was like, I'm bored by this.
I'm done with this game. It's too easy.
Crazy.
It's too fucking easy.
Yeah. And just that, you know, the greatest at everything ever.
I mean, I remember watching some documentary, watching the way people bow to him, realizing they're not fake bowing. Like they've gone full like belief. This guy is some divine being or whatever. Cause you have to do that. Like you can't have cognitive dissonance or they can detect it and then you get arrested. So you have to fully believe.
So when Kim Jong-il died, when he died unexpectedly a few years ago, right before the sun took over.
Yeah.
There were these, parade, I don't want to call it parade, like memorials in the streets, millions of people in the streets. You could get arrested and punished if you were not seen to be wailing and crying enough.
Wow.
So it you couldn't just be like, this is how I grieve.
Oh my God.
So you would see, like when you saw people like screaming and like falling to the ground, it was so that they were crying hard enough for the like overseers to see.
Man, it's so trippy to me to think that the planet
has
like
place
these
like
little
that on
petri
Earth?
Dishes.
Yeah.
Where in some of them shit like that is just growing. Shit
it's
like that's happening.
So
thriving.
Wild. You gotta see this. When do a Kim Jong Il funeral, people crying. And when you would get punished. Right? So you'll see like that. Might not be enough.
Yeah.
So it would.
She's squeezing tears out.
Right.
Just please let me cry.
They wanted you to be scrub along. You'll see. Like
there
they want you
go.
To be like that. Like you have to.
Well, you know
really
how that
perform.
It starts where you're doing like, you know, light crying and then some asshole decides to take it up a notch and everyone has
and
to.
This.
Yep. There you go.
And you realize that probably came from just somebody going like this to them. Like, looking at you and they're like, I'll hit the ground. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You had to show that you were truly, truly mourning, you know?
You know, the other thing that's creepy about those places is I think like, you know, people like you and I just talking shit about it.
Yeah.
We have this natural assumption, like, well, they're not going to do anything to us.
Right.
But like, why? They can get people anywhere they want, anywhere at any time.
Like, that's true.
What happens if just by some stroke of bad fortune, he actually likes your podcast? What if he's like a regular watcher of your show and he's excited? He's like, oh, I hate Bert's not there. Fuck, his kidneys are fucked up. I hope he's okay. Then we're sitting here laughing at him and he's just like, oh, have them killed.
My name is Duncan Trussell. And I am sorry for what I said.
I mean, we do assume it's great.
I know, we always assume.
Why do you think you're safe here? They can get you if they want.
That's true. Think about like all the conversations that people have had about Putin. For sure, that's a much more developed system there.
Yes.
And people who have talked shit about him. Or the Saudis. You're talking about, what's his name?
Don't even say his name.
He's a fucking great guy. I'll tell you that. I love what he's done.
He's really great with Falcons, architecture.
Yeah. What? That's what you searched? You're so bad at this.
MurderousSaudiPrinces.com.
What?
No, that's my favorite porn genre.
Is it Bin Salam? Why are you bringing them up? Why are you bringing up the Husseins? God, I fucking hate him so much.
They're doing great. Could shoot.
Yeah. Fucking dipshit.
You're pissed.
Huh?
You're pissed at them now.
Not them, him.
The prince?
No, the fucking kid in the booth.
Fuck, man. I'm sorry. I don't know.
It's not your fault.
They're doing fine, man.
Don't be that guy.
I am that guy.
You're like the guy who's like, don't complain about the waiter. Shut up.
Don't complain about the waiter. It's a hard job, Tom. It's a hard job.
It's tough. I know.
Brutal.
Just refill the water every... All right.
You know...
Oh, shit.
Waiters.
I know. It is a tough job. And they are getting worse. Service is terrible everywhere in my fucking Gucci shirt.
Yeah, look at you.
Should I do the golden button? Like,
look at that shimmer.
The button? Better with the button?
Look at that.
Yeah?
That beautiful, shiny button.
The button does it all.
Yeah, man. I mean, I just think like the idea was like you're supposed to have this idea here that if you work really hard, you can buy a house. Like that was sort of
that's what was sold to us.
That was and they fucked up because like you have to keep that going and that's not there anymore.
Yeah. I mean,
how do you get somebody to like go into the things that we went into? I was a server at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but like there's something built in. The idea is if you do this, you can somehow navigate into whatever life you want. That's the big dream.
True.
But if that starts becoming really, truly inaccessible.
And it mostly is. It mostly is.
Mostly is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right. It used to be that a house for most people was like, just like a few, for like the most of the working class, they're like, oh, it's like 2 to 3 years salary. Like that's the equivalent of the price of a house.
Right.
But now for most working people, a house costs 10 to 30 times an average house what they make in a year. It's crazy.
Not to mention all the shit you have to go through to get the house now, to like just all the crazy hoops you got to jump through. It's like, you know, obviously it's not exactly the same, but people believe Kim Jong-un was born on a mountaintop or ill or whatever.
I believe that.
I do too. And that mountaintop will never be. I heard it. The mountain turned to gold.
It usually when he was born. It never rains there. Actually, it's always sunshine.
Rainbows. Actually, yeah. It's like that's the sun is made of rainbows.
Do not fuck with him. Keep going.
But you know he like that. The version of that here is, I think, if you know work really hard, and eventually you'll be able to like no longer have to work two jobs. You'll get to this point. But people are stopped. They're not believing that anymore because it was sort of true. And I think it was very true at one point. But now if it's a tiny percentage of people are able to do that, then what is the, like, how do you get people other than like giving them the choice between like starvation or like washing dishes? How do you get people to do it successfully?
I know. And then there's the big talking point right now in like corporate workforce is that there's a huge, huge percentage of the workforce that doesn't want to return to an office.
But that
also has, they have the added benefit of saying, I have been able to do this task and this job.
Yeah.
Not from that location.
Right.
So, and I like this life more.
Right.
And there's a lot of like, you know, people going like, oh, if you're not going to let me do that, then I'm not going to work there anymore.
I mean, most of the people working here could be doing it from home.
Yeah, could be.
They don't have to, you don't have to make them come in here.
I'd love to have them not come in.
Really? You want to get them out of here?
You think I want to see these faces?
I mean, that whole office culture bullshit, that thing of like, look, man, we all need to be in the same room doing stuff.
That's a big argument.
That's a big argument. And it's like, maybe so.
But here's the thing. It's probably business by business. Don't you think? Like case by case. There are certain times where that probably applies true for that specific place and what they do. But definitely not. I mean, like, I'm not talking about a bank, a branch bank where you come in and you talk to the teller. But I'm saying the people that work in those accounting offices and everything is like, why does that person have to be there doing that?
Why?
If they can do it perfectly well from their house,
which they can't.
And they go, and I can have breakfast at home with my kids.
Yeah, see my kids.
And why sit in traffic?
It's crazy. The whole thing was based on filing systems. Like, it was just you had to be there because you had to file shit in the same place. We don't need that anymore. Like, now we're just talking
anything about, like, client-based service. You could probably just go, well, then I meet clients. But, you know, in public, I meet them at their, you know, like, it doesn't have to be at that office.
That's right. Yeah,
you can
exactly.
do it anywhere.
It's a huge controversy right now because the idea, like the dream of technology was we are going to like have these computers that are going to make our lives easier. Like we will, now that we have these things processing information, we'll work 20 hours a week instead of 40 hours a week. But somehow everyone's working 60 hours a week. So... the pandemic presses pause. Everyone gets to do the experiment. What does happen if we work from home? Do the companies fail? Is some like crucial aspect of our hanging out together gonna like get lost? No, everything runs the exact same way. Mm-hmm. Everything's the same,
but
office managers,
right?
They need a job. So they're like talking to the bosses like,
Office managers remind me of like TV executives. You know, when you sit in a TV like meeting and there's someone speaks up and you're like, who is this? And then they say something that everybody's like, and he goes, well, I have to say something so it justifies me having a job.
Right.
Otherwise, why am I here?
Right. That's it. And the office manager is the one who's telling the story of like, you know, culture, office culture. Yeah. What about all the parties and the fun parties? Like we have the casual Friday.
Big.
You don't get to enjoy that anymore.
And, right.
You know, they don't want to talk about the brutal fucking commutes.
I wonder how much porn watching has gone up since people started working from home more.
Thousands of percent. Yeah. Everyone's looking.
And so many more people jerking off in meetings. So many more.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Like, I read a statistic, 99% of people in an office meeting are jerking off. Yeah.
From home.
Yeah.
Well, why would, if you're home...
why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, if you are in a private place and you're not jerking off.
What are you doing?
Why do you have a body?
Yeah. When was the last time you jerked off in public?
Wow, that's a really good question.
Yeah.
Define public.
Anywhere that's not inside your home or hotel room.
Okay. I mean, it's kind of lame, but it was an airplane bathroom.
Same.
Really?
Same.
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
Yes. Mile High Club.
Yeah, bro.
I mean, I don't know if that counts for the Mile High Club.
I don't think it does, but so what?
So, okay. So when was this?
A couple times.
I mean, like how recently?
How recently?
Yeah.
Last week. And then another time was like 4 months ago.
But was this in a, like on a private plane?
No.
Okay. So this was like on like Delta.
Yeah.
okay, how, what happened? Like, you know,
I saw this big fat lady and I was like, what's up? And then she was like, and then, I threw a piece of bread at her. I saw her eat it. I just ran out of the bathroom.
You gotta go. You were probably in line. There's probably people in line to jerk off. Oh,
man. No, I just got something in my head and I got all worked up.
Can you talk about what got in your head?
No.
Come on, man.
No.
Come on. What was it?
No way.
Oh, my God.
No. But I also.
Wow.
What was in your head?
I'll tell you what happened. I was at a club. This was years and years and years ago. And I was in a monogamous relationship. But this beautiful, beautiful woman after the show basically said, like, why don't we go in the green room and I'll suck your dick. And so, like, I, you know that thing where they're beautiful and you're at the time I was drinking. So you're just kind of like running through your head. Like, do I want to be haunted by this?
This is after a show?
This is after a show.
Okay.
So
no, by the way, no, I don't know when that happens. Go ahead. Okay, keep going.
It doesn't happen to me anymore. It doesn't happen anymore. This was like, no, by the way, it's not like that anyone's asking to suck my dick after shows.
Well,
it's
I'm
like
just
one
saying,
of those moments.
That's some real rock star. Yeah, I get it. It's a crazy moment.
And you hear about these moments from the symmetrical comics where it's like,
sure,
it's like happens to them all day long. That happens at the meet and greets.
They have 100 of these stories.
Oh yeah. That's their every second of their life is a comic.
Sims,
is getting there. Yes.
All the Sims.
So like I went back to the hotel room furiously jerked off.
Mm-hmm.
It, just trying to like, you know,
satisfy.
Shut it off.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Didn't work. And then I'm sitting in the airplane. And then, yeah, I just was so like overwhelmed by like thinking about that, yeah, I went in the bathroom and jerked off.
Okay. You're more of a savage. I lied. I was on a private plane. And I've tried jerking off on commercial planes. And
wait a minute. You motherfucker. You did the old private plane jerk off trick, the classic, and I fell for it.
You walked right in. I will tell you this: I have tried on commercial. Okay,
privilege, folks. This is what it looks like, dude in a Gucci shirt who can only jerk off on private planes.
Look at that gold button. I get aroused on flights. I have for years.
Really?
Yeah, I get naturally aroused on flights.
What is it?
I don't know what it is. I'm sure I could explore it, but I don't know what it is. But I get naturally aroused on flights. And I've been on commercial flights where I go, I'm going to go handle this. And something about, you know, someone's opens the door, it just throws me off. You know, I mean, I just couldn't do it.
Who knocks? Nobody knocks.
Not knocks, but you know, the door jiggles. Like someone's checking or pushing the door and you're
right.
Or then you just start to think about that that this is taking a while, you know, like you're not, it's harder to focus. I couldn't do it. Does it say planes make you horny?
What?
Flying can sometimes lower the amount of oxygen in your bloodstream and your brain, which safely achieved can make you feel even more aroused. The novelty and the excitement of sex in the air can also make for excitement. Well, I've never
had God. That.
But anyway, yeah, I have done it on charters.
Wow. That is crazy.
I know.
That's interesting to think about that. Like the study will never be done.
No. But I volunteer.
You just did the study.
Yeah, yeah.
And you said twice.
Yes, twice. It's twice.
So this is just probably a thing they know. Like your pilot probably knows. Those
he knows
have
now.
Like detection mechanisms.
Yeah. And it's a mess. Let me tell you. It's a fucking.
Just, you're just blasting jizz back there. And then you come back.
And I'm like, oh, and they're like, what?
You're
good dump?
Patting your friends on the back. You're touching things in the plane.
Touching everybody.
Oh, man. That's interesting, though, that you like get horny on planes. That's curious. You know,
I don't understand why.
There's something that happens to people in bookstores. You know about this?
No.
There's a name for it. You know, do you go into bookstores and like suddenly have to take a shit?
I have.
Okay, that is, believe it or not, that is like a very common occurrence to the point where there is a name for
it. You're being serious?
Are you
trusting me? Are you doing a Dunkin' Trust?
After what you did to me,
yeah,
you would deserve it, but I'm not that clever. I don't have anything.
You were trusting me.
Look up syndrome. I think it's a phenomena, not syndrome.
It's called the Mariko
Aoki phenomena.
It means sudden urge people feel to empty their bowels when in a bookstore. Jesus.
You see?
And a, wow. I hit the one that says a doctor explains. Okay. At some point in the mid-80s, a story goes, a Japanese woman named Mariko Aoki wrote a letter to a magazine confessing that she sometimes urgently felt the need to poop whenever she entered a bookstore. Aoki, it turned out, wasn't alone. In the weeks that followed, many other people wrote in explaining that they too felt the same urge in bookstores and libraries.
Yeah.
Likewise, okay, it came became known as Mariko Aoki phenomena.
God, sucks that your name is permanently attached to shitting. That. Oh my God.
Okay, the guy says it's a purely psychological problem. Now, the people who experience this aren't crazy or nuts. There's a real connection between the gut and the brain. It's called the gut-brain axis. What we feel mentally will affect our bowels. That's why when you're nervous, like taking a test or giving a public speech, you have butterflies in your stomach.
Yep.
It's the nervousness you feel that corresponds to the butterfly feeling in your gut. For others, the nervousness will cause diarrhea and other bowel issues will occur. It's a common manifestation of conditions like IBS.
Yep.
Wow, the intensity of the information that you encounter in museums and libraries or the sudden quiet of a garden can trigger an automatic response to you. That's interesting, too. The quiet can do it.
So weird.
That you're going from, it makes sense, noise to like,
quiet. You're safe.
And then you're like, oh my God.
I got a shit.
Wow. You've been ignoring it, maybe?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but why do I come so hard in the air?
Man, you're lucky.
Yeah.
Like whatever that is, anytime you have anything like that, if you ask me, like, and I think that's a kink. You've got a kink.
Uh-huh.
It's an expensive,
you're lucky. Yeah.
It's an expensive kink.
It is an expensive kink.
You know, that's intense that you have to be in an airplane and a charter jet to come that hard. That's intense.
It is. But I agree with you on the luck of kinks. And I think if somebody is with somebody with a kink, you're actually lucky. Sometimes people are off put by them.
Yeah.
But you're lucky that you have something that can like easily satisfy somebody. It's it's like a trigger.
It's
so
the best.
Let them indulge and use it to your advantage to have fun. And I agree.
Yeah, you're lucky. But for you, it's a tough one. Do you have any
other? Poor Armie Hammer, everyone's like, guy's a fucking jerk.
He's got to get ribs from
he's got to cut something out of a girl.
Jesus Christ, man. Yeah, those are brutal kinks.
He engraved his initial. He like branded a girl.
Ah, what an asshole.
Yeah, and she was like, you know.
What is that? Keith Raniere, same thing.
Well, like it's the evil. That's where, you go from going like, oh, this doesn't seem like actual consensual BDSM play to where somebody's getting a thrill. When you get a thrill out of hurting, you know, that's when you start to register on the evil scale.
Right? For sure.
If you need suffering to feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that girl. That's the
sucks.
And he licked the blood. I mean, he's got a dark side, man. He's got a real dark side.
She's gotta explain that to like all the guys she meets, like what the A is. She has to invent something or tell the truth.
Oof. Yeah.
Look at that. It looks like more and like then, he carved it than it's a brand.
And that picture right there of the two of them, the split screen. My first thought's like, what a good looking couple.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful couple.
Yeah. But one of them's a real goofball.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Truly, what a goof.
He's always goofing around with these chicks. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. He started an account, not on Instagram, but on a different platform where he would just show himself like drinking and driving and smoking shit and like taking drugs. Like it was just wild. Apparently there was like this, a whole bunch of people that were like celebrities were doing that. Like, starting a profile on this other lesser known Finstagram. I forget what it was. It was in the doc, but they're like, they go, yeah, he just uploaded all this shit with his face, like drinking out of a bottle while he's driving.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. That stuff is, I don't get that at all. Like when people shoot videos of themselves
doing something like that
and then go public with it. Like you want to, you're doing that because you are daring, sick of your life.
Yeah, it's a daring move. It's impulsive.
Yeah.
It does show like a lack of judgment. And it's like, yeah, you're
but you want to get taken down. Like if you're doing that, you're it's doing public, secretly, like, you're like, sick of it.
I'm drinking and driving. That's one of the craziest things you can film yourself doing is going to be like, I openly, willfully, and publicly am impaired and driving.
You know what? This is a product of the times though, because that was just like my dad driving.
Sure.
When I was a kid, everyone used to drink and drive.
That was way more normal.
Way more normal.
But like, now it's like, now you don't, you can't say that, you know? Yeah. I mean, and also, you know, I think back then too, cops would be like, yeah, why don't you finish that one and then hit the road? Like, you know,
they didn't care.
Yeah.
It's a completely different time now, but yeah, that's like, of all the things about him, that seems like the least.
That's true. That's true.
Weird.
Yeah. That's true.
Drinking and driving.
Yeah, I know. He's cutting fucking his name into people. It's a little more
probably
aggressive.
Probably blood in that thing. He's probably drinking blood.
Like, yeah.
That
would he wanted blood and yeah. Well,
I got to ask you something.
Yeah.
Do you believe in aliens? Like, do you get into UFO stuff at all?
I don't get into UFO stuff at all. I'm more of the mindset that I think it's completely plausible to believe that there's other life forms. I don't believe in like when everyone's like, I saw one and that was that last night and all that. But I think the size of the universe, like the infinite, we can't even comprehend how huge this is.
Right.
To think that we're the only life form is just, I don't know, it feels arrogant. And so I sometimes think that we haven't maybe encountered it yet. Like the stories that I've heard usually have something that you can really pick apart, and people will conveniently, that's the thing with like a lot of conspiracy theories, is that people will conveniently ignore the data that doesn't support
right.
whatever they're saying. And they'll do that with alien, UFO, all that stuff. But I think it's very plausible to believe that there has to be life elsewhere. That we maybe just haven't.
So what do you think about all the stuff coming out now with the Tic Tacs and all the weird craft that have been picked up by like military vehicles and ships and fighter pilots?
Oh, this is stuff that was recently declassified?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's like all of a sudden, like these things are everywhere. And not only that, but people are getting brain damage from being around them. Like,
really?
Yeah. Like, they're getting some kind
but
of.
But, like, things like this, like, a lot of times, I'm not saying this one, but things like this, a lot of times there are images that are shared that people be like, what's this? And you go, well, okay. Like, in this particular case,
right.
Like, I'm saying in the hypothetical scenario I'm presenting, there'll be a. Eventually, like a rat, they'll be like, that's a fucking Cessna in the distance reflecting off. Like, they'll just,
right.
People will, because it's exciting to think that there's more happening. On that part, I get it is exciting to, but so I don't know, like, I don't know this says they can't explain.
Well, it's the strangest thing ever. And it's the reason it's interesting is because it isn't coming from the UFO community, which. What you're doing right now in the UFO community, you know what we call it?
What?
It's called swamp gassing.
Okay.
So what you do is people like you and your Gucci shirts with cum on your hands, getting off your plane, dripping jizz off your hands under the fucking concrete.
Yeah.
People like you.
Yeah.
You just refute the stories, the anecdotal evidence, not of one person, but of so many people. And you're like, oh, you saw whatever.
I mean, I did say, I think it's very believable that life exists outside of our planet. I think that is, I've said that a lot of times the evidence shown is really shady, like not great. But this new, as you're getting into, you're saying this is not coming from the UFO community.
Right. What's the reason that a lot of people in the UFO community are suddenly feel validated
is
because the U.S. government, it's like, one question is, why are they even talking about it? Why not keep it top secret? Why are they like doing public hearings on it?
Right.
And so people are, what they're saying is, well, they're trying to get ahead of the curve.
Sure.
Because so many people have been witnessing these things. And now because there's some kind of physiological proof.
The brain damage?
Yeah, and the VA has got to cover that. So, like, so they're trying to get ahead of the curve, and so that's why it's a really interesting...
So what do you think is happening?
No idea. I mean, no, I mean, there's two, like, broad possibilities, I guess. One is it's, like, some, like, new tech coming from somewhere, who knows where, hopefully us. That seems like the most plausible. Like, if you're going to, like, roll the dice on something, it's like the odds are it's coming from humans,
yeah,
not coming from space, I would guess. But, yeah, the other one is there. So either we have, now that we have these, like, new ways of, like, getting data, like, intense, super high-tech radar systems and stuff, we're seeing things that have always been sort of flitting around the planet, or... for whatever reason, like, things have discovered our planet and are just starting to check us out. They could be drones. I mean, there's all kinds of bizarre explanations, but the two are, it's either from humans or it's not.
Yeah.
And what's weird is some of these people, like high-ranking officers, are like, this is not terrestrial
They're
technology.
Saying that openly.
Yeah, openly, yeah. Just saying, well, like, how does that even work? It's like going so fast and then stopping, then going underwater, then coming out of water. Like, what the fuck is that?
Can you imagine if that is actually just a weapon being developed? What the next wave of weapons are going to be? I'm talking about 100 years from now.
Yeah.
Like, when we're gone. If things, like, you know, now somebody in Nevada can sit in a room and go, doot, and, like, send a missile into Pakistan and just blow up a whole, like, a house.
Yeah.
Like, what is going to develop with weapons? It's going to be...
It's crazy.
Terrifying.
And it's coming.
Yeah.
It will, like, I was talking to my wife about this. Like, think of just before we dropped the first atomic bombs. This was done in top secret. Nobody knew. There was some theory, well, it could be done. You could split the atom. It would cause an explosion. But most people had no idea that this was being researched. They were working on it. And so all of a sudden, on the news... a weapon that no one had ever heard of before wipes out
a city.
Entire cities, just evaporates.
Yeah.
Entire cities came out of nowhere, ends World War II. And so if that happened once, it'll happen again. But it's going to be like the news comes on. It's like, well, there are no people living in Russia.
Yeah.
They're just all gone.
Yeah.
And then Biden's going to come out and be like, we had to do it. We knew a nuclear war was imminent. They were going to launch nukes. So we used a new
fill
in the blank.
Yeah.
And we just, they're gone. They're still in Russia, but in an alternate dimension. We essentially moved all the people in Russia to another part of the multiverse in a different Russia.
I thought too that, you know, this felt very much in like this Russia-Ukraine war.
Yeah, it's scary.
Felt very scary, but also like there's this feeling, especially in the first few weeks, where it just felt like Putin was getting to a place of, you know, I'm getting older.
Yeah.
It's time to like do something that no one will ever forget kind of thing.
Right.
And I really thought that was going to extend, I mean, I guess still could, but to further parts of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is the big problem is that, right now, maybe the people running things are sane. It's a huge assumption. I mean, look at Armie Hammer. If you didn't know, you would be like, that's a totally beautiful, sane, great actor. You didn't know he's like barbecuing model ribs.
That's fucking awesome.
But
super symmetrical.
So there's this assumption that the leaders somehow are completely sane.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, you don't know what's happening with any of them. Like they could be. They're being visited
all
by
fucking megalomaniacs, all
right,
of them. And they, of course, you don't know the like, imagine the real intel you have in those positions. It's got to be terrifying.
Terrifying
when you really know.
Yeah. So we all like sort of lean into this idea that like right now Putin isn't like having an hallucinatory conversation with like a sheep.
Yeah.
Who's like, it's time, time. Yeah. You got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, we all, that's all it takes. And not only that, but what about just a simple malfunction? What if just, I don't know, the wrong button gets pushed or just a computer.
That's happened. People push the wrong button all the time.
Missile gets launched. They're like, oh, fuck, it's happening. And then It's over.
YMH Live 8. Nadav pushed the wrong button on a video.
That exactly the same thing.
It could be.
Except it wipes out half the planet. But yeah, that is, I mean, that is
Nadav how it, could do that. He could accidentally blow up the planet.
Yeah.
And he'd go, I don't know.
Fuck. Oh, man. Shit.
Fuck.
Fuck.
Shit.
That's the thing. Like,
I just blew up Italy.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other creepy thing. I try not to think about this stuff, but yeah. I was the same way. Like, I'm thinking, there's,
you know,
saying,
what you need to do, man?
What?
Honestly, you need to come with me on a chartered flight. And we will jerk off in the bathroom.
Anytime.
You want to?
I'm there. Yes.
Yeah. You know what? I'll set it up right now. Give me a second.
Great.
Where do you want to go?
I don't know. Some place that's like fun to jerk off while you're flying to.
Yeah.
What's your favorite jerk off route?
I love flying west. West, buddy.
I like to come just as I'm going that over jet the
stream. That jet stream gets me going.
Like, you don't even have to move your hand. If you get in the turbulence,
it's fantastic.
It's not always bad.
It's not always bad. All right. Thank you for coming today. This was
Thanks
a lot
for
of
having
fun.
Me.
You're the best.
You're the best, man. I'm so glad we live really, in the same city.
Me too. I'm so glad you're here. Next time, please wear your Gucci stuff.
Next time, tell me. I'd gladly would have.
He's going to wear it. I thought we'd be all Gucci'd out.
You know what? It's at the dry cleaners, to be honest. I couldn't have. But I thought, you know, don't wear that. Segura's going to like roast you for no. all.
It's all good. I love you, man.
Love you too.
See you later.
See you.
Bye, guys.
Bert and Tom. Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.